Welcome to the Weight Loss Podcast, where we offer solutions to the obstacles you face when it comes to achieving your health and fitness goals. As a married couple who has lost a combined weight of 100 kilograms and 11 clothes sizes, our raw, real, and relatable stories will show you the path you must walk to achieve, and more importantly, maintain the results you know you can reach. Because we know it works. So get ready to share the success and show the results with your hosts, Matt and Courtney.
Hello and welcome to season 11 of the Weight Loss Podcast. This is the official first episode of season 11 and we're pretty excited, aren't we, Matt?
Pumped, energized, revitalized, refreshed, insert descriptor here, whatever it is, that's you and that's me and hopefully that's you listening. So, yeah, we are, I suppose, like any bad smell, we've returned.
Yes.
Can't keep a bad smell down for too long, can you?
Nope. Better than ever.
So we're back and excited to talk more shit.
Yep.
Because that's all we do is just talk shit that maybe is helpful.
Mm-hmm.
So we're here with a brand new episode straight off the bat. 10 ways to know your mindset is awful.
Yeah.
So in the interest of being completely positive, we're going to start by being
Completely
negative pair of bitches.
But it's all out of love. Because we don't want you to have an awful mindset.
No. So we have come up with, well, I mean, we say come up, but they're obvious because they're things that we've gone through ourselves that we've observed over time in our line of work. 10 ways to know your mindset sucks, is shitty, is terrible, is awful. Or, to be a bit softer, 10 ways to know your mindset's holding you back.
Mm.
But we're going to call the episode 10 ways to know your mindset is awful because, well, that'll get more attention, won't it?
Yes. Yes.
So we could be nice people and say 10 ways to know your mindset is detrimental, but fuck that.
No, it doesn't have the same ring to it.
Nope, we're going in hard.
Mm.
So what we will do is, Courtney has officially designated me the reader outerer.
It's an official title. I might get you a badge.
The official reader outerer of the show today. So I will reader out the 10 points and then Courtney will explain them all. What do you reckon?
Sounds like a plan.
All right. So the first way to know your mindset is awful is a little thing we like to call blamology.
Mm.
What is blamology? Well, I look at it as being, you know, obviously, Courtney, please chime in here. You assign blame elsewhere rather than taking ownership and responsibility for your actions and your choices, aka you don't own your shit.
Yeah, pretty much.
You're not wearing your big boy or your big girl pants and taking actual responsibility for the things that you say, do, think, or don't say, do, and think.
Mm.
What do you got?
I agree. I think it's one of those ones that you can get into a loop with, you know, like you convince yourself that one thing wasn't your fault and you blame something else for it and then it just it keeps spiraling from there. But is a very toxic attitude to have.
What a great word.
Mm.
Hmm. 10 ways to know your mindset is toxic? Is that the actual name of this episode? That's very well said. But yes, blamology is toxic because it's just avoiding, not just avoiding taking responsibility, but avoiding improvement.
Yeah.
Because through taking responsibility and ownership for actions, choices, whatever, You take ownership for poor choices, you can then take ownership for the good choices that could lay ahead of you.
Yeah, and I think this is one of the ones as well that doesn't just affect you. When you get in the habit of doing this, it affects the other people too around you. It affects people that you're blaming instead of blaming yourself. It affects relationships with your support people around you. That's where it can be like a really toxic trait because it's not just affecting you and your progress.
It's also a disempowering trait because you're assigning responsibility to other things. You're giving power to other things or situations or people. So, you know, oh, it's not my fault. I just don't have the time. I'm just too busy with work, or I'm too busy with family, or this or that. You're just shifting responsibility and ownership of a situation to someone else, which then robs you of the ability to actually improve whatever situation that you're in. So I think blamology makes you weaker as a person.
I agree.
Because it holds you back from improving. And like, well, it hasn't happened for a while, but it's happened in the past where we've even had former clients blame us for their lack of results, even though, hey, buddy, you didn't fucking turn up. You didn't show up. What did you expect?
Yeah.
Like, we're here to help you and guide you. We're not going to carry your ass. Because we can't.
No.
We're carrying our own.
Yes.
So, yeah, blamology. This has to be the first one here, clearly.
Yeah.
The second way to know your mindset is awful is that you allow yourself to get knocked off course the moment things get just a little bit hard. This speaks to resilience, doesn't it? This is another way of saying resilience.
Yeah. Yeah. The opposite of resilience.
Yeah. And this, for if you listening are not from Australia, this reminds me of a phrase: when we say things or people are weak as piss.
Yeah.
This is how you find out if you're weak as piss, because, you know, we've said it before and we'll just keep repeating this till we're blue in the face. Anyone can kick ass when things are easy and smooth in life. But as you know, being an adult, that's not how it works. And then you really find out what someone's made of. And this is also a thing about, to me, it's about character. What sort of character do you have? You're going to discover that based on your responses to challenges. Thoughts?
I agree. I think that it's, I actually don't know how to put it better than what you just put it.
Well, I would just add to it that when we talk about being knocked off course or being easily knocked off course, that's not to say that, you know, when presented with a challenge, you don't find things hard. Of course you find things hard.
Yeah.
But there's a difference between, okay, fuck, this is hard and I've got to roll my sleeves up here and grind through this, versus, oh, I'll just come back to it later on when things get easy again.
I think it's a really good point that you bring up, and to clarify even more, I think that it doesn't even mean that you can't take a step back or a couple of steps back when maybe mistakes happen or obstacles come up. It's the actual fully giving up or just walking away.
Well, I would even challenge the phrase that, you know, step back, where to me, if things start to get pretty hot and spicy in life, and, like, you know, things can become difficult. To me, just focusing on the basics and just getting the bare minimum done, I wouldn't even call that a step backwards. I call that a step forwards. Because you think about, you know, things in life get hard as hell. There's a lot to be said about getting through knowing you got the basics or the bare minimum done still. Doesn't mean you have to operate at your best and hit PBs or whatever. But if you're going through a challenging time in your life and you're still getting done what needs to get done to an acceptable minimum standard, as opposed to chucking it all in the bin.
Yeah, it's a whole different thing.
Well, I wouldn't call that a step backwards. I'd call it a massive step forwards.
Yeah, it's true.
Because we've gone through that ourselves.
Yeah. Sorry, I thought I was going to sneeze.
You had that look on your face. Like, you're looking around. It's like, is okay, is someone in the room with you? Blink twice.
I was prepared to move away from the microphone because no one needs to hear that.
Oh, well, also, don't forget, I've got the mute button.
Yes.
Here.
Like, I was going to tell you, but then it went away. So okay. It's okay.
Just remember, I got the mute buttons over here. I can shut us down when you need to sneeze.
Yep.
So, anyway, back to this. Speaks a lot, like I said, to a person's character. If things get hard and you still find a way.
Yeah, I agree.
Even if the way is not as good as it would be when things are relatively calm and under control, that's fine. You know, but it's maybe this is also something like an all or nothing thing that comes up here, where it's like, I'm on top of things when things are easy versus when things get hard and I throw it all in the bin and just be a big fucking baby about things.
Yes.
Anything else you want to add to this, or do I go on to number three?
Number three.
Okay. You settle for mediocrity rather than being prepared to ask yourself to do better. You give yourself ways out rather than get a little uncomfortable. And I think the key word of everything I just said is settle. Mm. You settle. Thoughts?
I agree.
We know you agree.
Thoughts?
We did this list together, so we know you. Thank you for agreeing with me. What are your thoughts on this?
I think that the key word there is settle for me, rather than being prepared to ask yourself to do better.
You know yourself, and maybe you listening know this too, that making improvements in this, in any sort of weight loss or health initiative, requires stretching yourself out of your comfort zone. Mm. Regularly, in fact.
Yeah.
And a lot of us, unfortunately, find reasons / excuses to just settle. Settle for, I didn't reach my goals. I got a little bit along the way and I'll just stay here where I am. Mm. Fuck that.
Yep.
Fuck that.
I feel like you don't always have to want to do things. Like you don't, I don't always want to go to the gym. We don't always want to go and do our grocery shopping. We don't always want to do our food prep. But
we don't always want to. How about never? But still.
But there's a big difference between that and just settling. Settling for a lower standard in yourself.
Yep.
It doesn't necessarily mean that you're always going to want to be better. You're always going to want to do more. But the mindset is that you do, because you want it that much and that you're willing to do what it takes to get what you want and to be a better person. That's what drives you to do it. But does that make sense?
Yeah. Smashed it, man.
Oh, 100%.
Give me that look.
You're pushing it today. You are pushing it.
people like us often will say, I'm very hard on myself to my own detriment. I would probably counter that by saying there are plenty of times when being hard on yourself can actually be a good thing. Mm. To the point where there is a balance to be struck. But I think it's too easy to go, oh, well, I'll take it easy on myself, and then just the standards slip.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with asking more from yourself. There's nothing more with expecting more from yourself. Like, we'll have clients that might complete a 12-week program and say things like, oh, I'm really disappointed in myself. I'm really upset with myself. And my first thought is like, well, you know what? You're entitled to be upset or disappointed. Mm. Because if you know you can do better and we know you can do better, then you know what? This is
should a, be, yeah.
You should be
disappointed
in that. And this is okay.
Mm.
This isn't an indictment on you as a person.
No.
It doesn't make you a bad person. It means that, hey, you know you're capable of more. We know you're capable of more. Step it up, dude.
Yeah.
You can do this.
Yeah.
Like, I know just from a coaching standpoint, I have never met a single person ever that we've worked with in any capacity where it's been clear they haven't got the talent or the traits required to succeed with this. Everyone does. Everyone's got what they need to succeed with this inside them.
Yeah.
It's a case of, are you willing to do what's required to unlock it? Or are you just going to settle for just weak sauce bullshit mediocrity and just stay right where you are? Mm. Which I think is the point of this. Anything else you want to add there? Or do I go on to number four? You beat yourself up for making mistakes, saying things like, oh, well, I'm a failure and I'll just start again on Monday. this is very low-hanging fruit for us. Like we said this, if we had a dollar for every time we've spoken about something like this since we started this entire podcast, like we have many dollars. But it is worth repeating because we said it before, we're going to say it again, and we're going to repeat this ad infinitum over time. Like you're going to make mistakes.
Yes.
It's okay to make mistakes.
Mm.
It's not okay to not learn from them and to then repeat them.
Yes.
Which is then when you are the problem.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go into something like this and you think to yourself that, you know, I'm not going to make mistakes or I can't make mistakes, I can't afford to make mistakes, like your mindset is shit.
You're just setting yourself up for failure too. Mm. Like it's never going to work. It's just not logical.
This kind of plays off of number two in terms of allowing yourself to get knocked off of course.
Mm.
And this you see a lot. When someone makes a mistake, they compound it. The thing is, what I tend to notice, it's not the initial mistake that's the problem. It's the reaction to it and the catastrophizing and the compounding of the mistake by being a big fucking baby and turning it into more than what it actually is. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. I think you can always be upset with making mistakes. You can always be upset with it. You can always be upset with yourself. You can always be upset with the situation. It's not that you can't be upset with it.
Nothing wrong with that.
It's your reaction to it.
Mm.
It's your reaction to it that is the biggest thing. It's the same thing with number one. We're talking about blaming other people and not taking ownership. It's the same thing. This is all reactionary. So we're not saying that you can't be upset or disappointed with a mistake or with a setback or with whatever. But it's your reaction to it that is going to be the biggest difference with how you move on from it. And as you've pointed out, Matt, the lessons you learn from it, you know, what can you take from it? What can you learn, do better, move on? And that isn't easy, especially if you've got a habit of not taking ownership for things and running in the other direction when mistakes are made. So it's not going to be an easy thing to teach yourself, but you have to react better when mistakes are made. Otherwise, you're always going to be running. You're always going to be running from everything because you're always going to make mistakes.
Mm. Whenever I see someone or speak to a client that's they've had a little fuck up somewhere, and it's like, you know what, that no big deal. Like that, honestly, 99% of mistakes that people we work with will make are just it's just like shrug the shoulders, carry on. Yeah. Next, move on to the next thing.
Yeah,
which is not a problem. It's when someone takes a mistake and chooses to compound it into a big deal. That's when you are the problem.
Mm.
The mistake isn't the problem. You are the problem for being a colossal baby and making it far bigger or worse than it ever would have been.
Yeah.
Like, just get over yourself.
Yeah.
That's probably all I can say on that. Anything else you'd like to add, or do I go on to number five?
I think we'll move on to number five.
The fifth way to know your mindset is awful, your expectations are wildly unrealistic and you end up bouncing from program to program, diet to diet, trainer to trainer, and it's,
Yeah.
All I will say on this, if you are a person who has had years, if not decades, of body image issues, weight issues, health issues, you name it, and you think the next 12-week program is going to be the one that fixes it, I got some fucking bad news for you.
What's the news?
It ain't. The next one's not the one.
No.
Well, I mean, it could be, but it won't be over that sort of period of time.
No.
So it's expectations go well beyond that. Expectations, you see it with people come up in different varieties. So for some people, the expectations can be unrealistic in terms of they think they're more advanced than they really are.
Mm.
And I've seen this with people that we've worked with for over a long period of time now, where it's clear based on their habits and where they're at coming in, like, hey, you're a beginner. In their mind, they think they're way more advanced than that and they should be treated more advanced than that. It's like, oh, well, okay, well, tell me how much creatine I should be taking and how much protein I should be having. And my first thought is, you don't even fucking meal prep. Mm. Who gives a rat's ass what supplements you're taking? Mm. Like, when's the last time you were in your own kitchen?
Yeah.
That's one issue I see. The other easy, lowest hanging fruit when it comes to poor expectations is time frame.
Yeah, that's a huge one.
And we've actually had this since over the years we've had this podcast. When we've had clients that have, you know, that we've brought in to work with us that have discovered us through the show, mm-hmm. and they've heard us on this very podcast saying shit like, this won't be quick, this won't be easy, you won't be the exception. We've had clients admit months after, I still thought I could be the exception. You fucking won't be.
No, you won't be.
Never, ever. If you think you're the exception, you are deluding yourself.
100%.
Like, what's that?
100%.
Absolutely. 1,000%. You are not the exception. You never were going to be.
No.
That's just lying to yourself and setting yourself up for disappointment. Mm. You won't be the one that does it quickly or easily. Sorry. Not sorry. Anything else you'd like to add here? Because I'm getting on a bit of a roll.
Yeah, no. No, I don't think we'll add to that one because I think it takes us perfectly into number six.
Number six, short-term thinking. You think to yourself, oh, well, I'll lose the weight. I'll live happily ever after. Or, you know, I'll do this diet or this program for 4, 8, or 12 weeks. And you don't think about what's involved from there. Mm. So what's involved from there could be, well, hey, let's say you get a great result in 12 weeks or 6 months or 12 months. Okay, what's next? And what's involved in keeping your result, which I think is even more important than getting a result, is learning how to keep it. Mm. Plenty of people get results, whatever the hell that may mean. Plenty of people will do programs that they think worked. It's like, well, why haven't you kept it up?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, we're all human. People will go backwards from time to time. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you're thinking to yourself that, oh, once I get the weight off me, I'll have no problems. No, buddy. No. You'll have new problems.
Yeah, it definitely doesn't work like that.
I mean, being obese and unhealthy probably won't be two of your problems anymore.
No.
But you'll have other ones that come along. And you'll actually have the new problems that will be things like, well, now you've got to keep what you got.
Yeah.
And I can speak firsthand. I think both of us can. And any, like you listening, if you've gone through this yourself, you'll agree. Keeping a great result is harder than getting one. I believe it is. What do you think?
I would agree with that.
Why do you think keeping the great results harder than getting one? What are your thoughts on that?
Good question. I don't think I've actually stopped to think about it until right now when you asked that question. My first thought would be that it's the day-to-day living it. It's like, I feel like in the start you've got that, you're a bit hyped up on the adrenaline of changing, of doing something new.
Honeymoon period.
Yeah, and I think it's still hard in that early stages because you're changing habits, and changing habits are hard, and you're learning new skills, you know, whether that be in the kitchen or in the gym.
Yeah.
So all of that is hard, but I feel like you've got this drive in the beginning because it is new and you've got this real sense of purpose. And then after that, you know, you start to see changes. So then the adrenaline of the changes comes in and that sort of thing. And I feel like when you start to talk about keeping it rather than that initial phase of losing it, I feel like you've got to constantly sort of remind yourself of, say, small wins, because you don't always have those dropping dress sizes, especially if you're happy with where you're at. You're not going to drop potentially any more dress sizes.
Well, you're getting to the stage where you're not going to lose any more weight, aren't you?
Yeah. So you've got to then really focus on – it can almost become a bit mundane. I think you can almost take what you've done for granted, so you allow your expectations on yourself to slip. It's really easy to allow that to slip.
We've been guilty of that.
Yeah. Like off and on.
Yeah.
Like it's not just one and done, like I think off and on. So complacency is a big one that, you know, I always have to be really mindful of. I feel like because of all of those things that then come into it afterwards, but you don't have the offset of the winning nature of continuing to drop dress sizes, it becomes really hard because you've got to then find somewhere else in what you're doing those wins to be able to give yourself that upbeat emotion. I don't know what, you know, I don't know. Does that make sense?
It's actually a really good point that you bring up, which now that I think more about it, just taking in what you're saying, actually adds to the reason why I think I find it harder to keep a result than to get one because of the time frame involved. Because you may spend 6 months, 12 months, 2 years becoming a completely different person inside and out, which is obviously commendable and rare by itself. But then when you talk about what's required to keep it, the time frame expands over a much longer period of time because all of a sudden you've then got to think to yourself, well, what I've been doing for the last 6 months, 12 months, 2 years, whatever the time frame may be, in order to stay where I'm at, if not improve, I have to now keep this going, the habits. And that also, that's ties into expectations as well from the previous point of, you know, what's required to keep a great result is to sustain what you did to get the result.
Yeah.
And that's where, to me, it becomes super hard because it expands the time frame. Thoughts?
Makes sense.
Because then you think to yourself, well, these habits I've built, this lifestyle that I've built, has to be maintained.
Yeah, forever.
And well, ideally, I mean, you know, if you want to sort of keep what you've got and maintain it, but that's also where the focus on habits that we have, I personally could not love the way that we focus on habits more than we do. I think it's really, really special because you want to get to the stage where your habits are so good you don't know how to stop. And that's actually how you address the long-term aspect of this. How to make it, I'm hesitant to use the word easier over a long-term period of time, or I would say more doable, is you get your habits so ingrained that you don't know how to switch them off. It's harder to not do the things that you do than it is to keep them going. That's how I find it. Again, I'm not going to use the word easy, but doable to keep going is because I don't know how to stop anymore. But that also takes time to build up. Anything you'd like to add on that?
No, makes total sense.
All right, so I'm going to go on to number 7. This is my personal favorite, actually. So talking about scarcity mindset versus abundance mindset. What do I mean by this? Well, a scarcity mindset as it relates to weight loss and health is you spend more time freaking out about what you have to give up or what you're going to lose or what you're not going to have anymore as opposed to focusing on what you stand to gain. So, I've got to stop having all the junk food. I've got to stop smashing the beer from Thursday night to Sunday night every single week. Like, hey, I got bad news. Like, change requires change.
Yeah.
If we could get in great shape eating shit food and smashing the booze every single week, I'd still be doing all those things.
And we'd be teaching it. We wouldn't.
There's all that part.
It makes no sense for us to tell you that you can't do stuff just for shits and giggles. Like, we are doing it for a reason.
That is a very, very good point. But I do see this with people when they hit a ceiling on their improvement is because they get too lost on what they think they're losing versus what they could be gaining.
Mm.
Now, we're not going to sit here and be bullshit artists and say, oh, yeah, you can get in great shape. You can, you know, look, function and feel your best and still eat and drink everything you want. Like, you know what? If you are overweight and unhealthy, I got some fucking bad news for you. Like, you probably can't eat and drink everything that you want because you wouldn't be where you are if you could. But the focus on what we stand to lose versus what we stand to gain, I think, puts a ceiling on people's progress. Mm. And that unto itself, in my opinion, this mentality by itself is a plateau. And a hard plateau to get past. The phrase that I personally like to use, that I apply to myself, is me personally, do I love chocolate? Fuck yes, I love chocolate. Do I love having a hard midsection more than I love chocolate? Fuck yes, I do. The taste of being in great shape is better than the taste of chocolate, and I love chocolate. Mm. Mm. What are your thoughts on scarcity and abundance mindsets? Wife, what do you got? Does this make sense to you?
Yeah, I mean, it makes total sense.
Because you've made this point a lot since you got into this, talking about, like, you know, there is sacrifice required with this. And I think that ties into this.
Yeah.
Like, unfortunately, some things aren't congruent with your goals.
Yeah. And I think we've spoken about this a lot in the past, because we have clients that will come to us that will say things like, oh, but can't I just keep this? Like, it's a negotiation. And it's like, trust us, if we could, like, if we thought it was going to work, like, give it a go. But the chances of it working is slim to none.
Well, ultimately, you do have the thing where, let's find out what you can get away with and still get a great result.
Absolutely.
However, if you do something long enough and you still haven't got the results you want, that's the information that tells you
it's not going to work. And I feel like at the end of the day, we all want everything, right? And I think we're in a society even more so now where everything we can get whenever we want, generally speaking.
Well, that's the thought process.
You know, most of us can order something and it's at our houses the next day. Like, we can do things when we want to do them, and we can buy things when we want to buy them, for most of us. Not everyone, but most people this day and age. We get our information at the click of a button.
In general, things are very easy to access now, yeah, so compared to when we were kids.
I think that there's a big learning curve for a lot of people, that sacrifice is required, and you're not going to have everything that you want. You're maybe not going to fit everything in the day that you can usually fit in. If you've got to go to the gym, if you've got to do the grocery shopping or the food prep, something has to give. Maybe your weekends don't look the same anymore. You know what? That is just what it is.
Well, you are spot on. It's like, you know what? If you've got goals and these goals are important to you and they're going to improve your life in a variety of ways, then once we know what your goals are, the discussion then goes to, okay, what's required to achieve them? Are you prepared to do what's required to achieve them? Because if we have someone come to us and they say, you know what, I want to get lean and strong and healthy and have a low body fat percentage, whatever it might be, like, that's great, no problem at all. Here's what's required to do it. Are you prepared to do it? Mm. Like, I know for me, my old drinking habits are not congruent with the goals I have for myself from a health standpoint. They just don't align. Do I still like the taste of alcohol? Yeah, I do. Whenever I have some at a wedding or a funeral, it's great.
Yeah.
Can I get away with drinking like I used to and be where I am now physically? Like, well, if I could, I would. Yeah. Or I'd still be doing it.
Yep.
So, yes, I would like to sample all manner of different beers and bourbons and rums every single weekend because they are fucking delicious. But I value what I work for personally more than I do that, and I have to make a choice.
Yeah.
So rather than look at from a scarcity standpoint, oh, I've got to I've got to give that up or I've got to get away from that. Well, you know what? I do have to give that up or get away from that, but what I get in return is worth it.
Yeah.
And that's what plays into this whole thing of scarcity versus abundance. You can get too caught up in thinking of what you're going to lose versus what you have to gain, which I think probably either illustrates that you haven't been fully clear on what your goals are, or maybe your goals aren't quite as important to you as you say they are. Because when you get to the stage when if you've really had enough of where you're at, you're sick of the way that your weight or your health or the way you look affects you, if you get to that stage where you've had enough, take it from us, you won't give a shit what's required. You'll be like, fuck it. Whatever it takes, I'm getting this done.
Yeah, I feel like as well, you've got to always remember what you're telling yourself when it comes to scarcity versus abundance. So if you're telling yourself, oh, I have to give up this, I have to give up that, I have to do this, you've just got to be really careful sometimes about what you're telling yourself you're doing, because what you're actually doing is you're choosing to give that up. So, Matt, you're choosing to give up binge drinking every weekend. You're choosing to do it because your goals are more important to you than the alcohol. It's not that you have to give it up.
Of course you don't. We're all adults.
It's your choosing to. So I think we have to be also really careful sometimes about the language that we're using when we're telling ourselves what we're doing and why we're doing it.
I like that word, choosing, and that even happens now. Like, if you've listened to this podcast for more than 30 seconds, you'll know my biggest hobby is video games. Always has been, always will be. Every time, for example, I go to the gym, I choose to not spend time playing a video game. I choose the gym instead. Now, I do like the gym more than Courtney does, but I like video games more than I like the gym. Take it from me.
Yeah.
No problem at all. But you use the word perfectly, Courtney, it's a choice. I'm choosing one over the other because what this thing gives me that I'm choosing is more important to me.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to add there or go on to the next one?
No, number 8.
The 8th way to know your mindset is awful is, well, we've written down here passive versus active. What we mean by this is you're very passive in that you wait for other things to fall in line. And the classic one is, oh, it's just not the right time. It's not the right time to do what's required here. As opposed to the mentality of, I'm just going to find a way.
Yeah.
When is the, yeah. Courtney, when is the best time to start?
There's no best time to start.
For me, the best time was yesterday. So in lieu of that, the best time is today.
You know what? I take that back. The best time is when you've decided that you've had enough. When it's hit you that it's not that you should be doing something, it's that you really deep down you want to do it.
Need versus want?
Yep.
Yep.
And then you'll do it. But this one, yeah, this one's definitely, like, I'm so glad this one's on the list because it's one of those ones where you could sit back and wait for the right time for anything, literally anything.
To me, this is where if you're passive in this regard, you're waiting for it to come to you. It never will. It never will because something's always going to come up. I mean, come on. We're all adults. Like, it's hard.
Yep.
You've got to go to it, don't you?
Yeah.
Whatever it is, you've got to just – it's the find-a-way mentality.
Yes.
That's what it is. It's just like – whatever it takes, I'm going to find a way to make this work.
Yes.
And that's a common trait. Like every single person that we work with, us as individuals, we're all different in a variety of ways. One thing that everyone that has any form of success with this has in common is they are prepared to find a way. Regardless of the circumstances, I'm going to roll with it and I'm just going to make it work.
Yeah.
By hook or by crook, I'm going to make it work.
Yes.
A whole lot different to, oh, I'll just wait for the right time. Like, good luck with that, buddy. Any other comments on this one?
Nope.
To me, just waiting for the right time, like you're a spectator. You're on the sidelines, like watching people who are active in this just sail right past you.
I just think realistically, if you say something like, I'm happy to wait because it's just not the right time. You're just using that as the excuse for the fact that you didn't want it enough to do it.
It's a form of settling.
It just comes back to that. It just comes back to you looking for an excuse or something to blame instead of just saying, I don't want it enough to do it right now.
Are we going back to blamology here?
I think it all feeds into each other because, I mean, realistically, that's all you're saying is, and to be honest with you, there's nothing wrong with saying, I just don't want it enough. Okay.
I'll tell you what. To me, that would be commendable. At least you are honest.
Yes.
Like, good on you.
If you said, you know what, I know that I should be doing something about my health and my weight, or I know that I should be doing X this weekend. I know I shouldn't be doing this, but I'm just not at that place yet where I'm willing to put my foot down. Okay.
That is, I'll tell you what, that is a form of ownership that I can actually respect because at least you're fucking honest.
And you know what? You should be saying that because it's starting to then train your brain to not blame other things or make excuses for things.
Well, it's ownership, isn't it?
You're taking ownership and then you'll know once you get in that mindset, you'll know when it is the right time and you're willing to put your foot down because you really have had enough of taking the blame for your own shit.
Would you agree, Courtney, with me when I say that when you're ready, when you're actually honestly ready, you'll know.
Absolutely, you'll know.
Because you'll have it. How would you phrase the mentality for you when you know?
Like, when you know you're ready, you're not as worried about embarrassment of asking for help, or you're not as worried about the how other people will accept your decisions.
Yeah.
Or you're not as worried about telling your friends that you're not going out binge drinking with them on the weekends and their reactions. Like you're not as worried about figuring out how to fit food prep and gym into your work life balance for the week.
Mm.
You're not as worried about those things. It's more becomes more of a, okay, this is going to be a challenge, but I'm going to make it work. Like it's a determination to make this work that you didn't have before.
Yeah, I think it's when two mentalities intersect.
Mm.
It's the first mentality is I'm going to find a way, and the second mentality is whatever it takes.
Yeah,
I'm not going to be this way anymore. Yeah. Fuck it.
Yep, I've had enough.
When these two things come together, I think it's when you know you've reached your point where it's like, okay,
yeah,
it's go time.
Yeah,
because you won't care what's involved, you won't care what it takes. It's anything but where you're stuck right now. And to me, anything short of that is when things like this come up. Nothing else to add there. Number 9.
Yep.
You seek detrimental shortcuts and attempt to avoid what's necessary for you to work on. Now, we were very careful writing this one up. We've used the word detrimental shortcuts because, you know what? Seeking smart shortcuts
is intelligent.
It's not just okay. You should be seeking intelligent shortcuts because I do.
Yeah, you should. As you mentioned earlier, Matt, we should be trying to see how much change we can get for the least amount of change. How much change to our bodies we can make with implementing the least amount of change to our lives.
Yeah, the way I like to say it is best possible results, least amount of effort required to get them.
Yeah. And that is smart.
That's how it should be.
That is what you should be doing.
Why change 100 things if you can get the same outcome only changing 50?
Yeah, absolutely. And this is where those smart shortcuts, this is what I think of as those smart shortcuts.
How do you know what are the smart shortcuts though? This is where support and accountability and guidance and coaching comes into it, because that's where like it's like, hey, I'm just gonna say it straight out. Like if you're working with people or professionals that have done it before themselves and helped others, they'll know what the smart shortcut, or they should know what the smart shortcuts are.
Yes.
If you haven't gone through it yourself, it's impossible to know what are the smart shortcuts versus what are the shortcuts that are actually holding you back from improvement. That's why we use the word here, detrimental.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, what does a detrimental shortcut look like? Well, to me, a detrimental shortcut could be, well, you know, I hit all my gym sessions each week, but I don't meal plan a meal prep. Like, sorry, that's a detrimental shortcut. It is still commendable to be the sort of person that doesn't miss an exercise session. Like, if you don't miss a training session, like, hey, that's a good foundation to build on. It's not going to be enough. How do I know this? Been through it myself.
Yep.
So a detrimental shortcut is, oh, well, yeah, I don't food prep that much and I just sort of wing it with what I eat, but I don't miss any gym sessions. Like, okay, that's your next area of improvement. Or we'll see with clients that we work with, but we tell them straight up, like, hey, look, we want to build you up to get better at your training and get consistency with that, to also get consistent with your meal prepping, because it's a requirement for this. How it looks is different from person to person, but conceptually it's a requirement. But so is accountability. And this is the ultimate, this is the funny thing is, accountability is the ultimate shortcut when it comes to getting the fastest result possible. Is, as boring as it is, jotting down, noting, recording what you're doing, what you're eating, what you're drinking over time to start to pick out where the areas of improvement are. This is the ultimate hack to getting faster results with this. And it's the one that we see clients the most take the detrimental shortcut.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah. I do some food prepping and I hit my gym sessions, but Matt and Courtney are my coaches, but I don't do the accountability side of things. Well, guess what? Any results you get are going to be short-lived if you get them at all, because you're immediately putting a ceiling on how far you'll go, and you're also actually expanding the time frame involved in getting there. That's a detrimental shortcut. And I think it takes the focus on working on what's necessary.
Yep.
Anything else you'd like to add to that?
No, I agree with all of that.
Number 10, you can read this one out.
Dun, dun, dun.
You can be the last reader-er today.
Thanks.
What is the 10th way to know your mindset sucks?
The 10th way to know your mindset sucks. We're going with sucks now.
For now.
Okay. You lack focus and are easily distracted by shiny objects and noise.
What are your thoughts on this?
I actually am surprised we didn't think of this one earlier. Like,
are you saying why is this number 10 versus why is it not number 1?
No, I mean, we just wrote them down in the order that you thought of them.
Mm.
But it was one of those ones when you were like, oh, this one. And we were both like, oh, how do we not think of this earlier?
Mm.
But, yeah, I mean, we've spoken about it a lot, right? It's easily distracted by shiny objects and noise is one of the things I think personally, if we look back on all of our clients' feedback for what they've done before they met us and in just discussions we've had with clients over the years, this seems to be one of those ones that is high up there that everybody seems to have some sort of experience with.
Mm.
And I think it feeds into some of the other ones. I think sometimes it feeds into expectations. I think sometimes it feeds into a short-term mindset where it's expectations is a big one. I think for me as well, when I think of examples of this one, I think like when we hear clients tell us that what they're doing because it takes so long, it's such a long process when you do it right, you know, it's not a 4-week thing.
Huh.
Yep. It can get really hard, right? Because you've got people out there doing these certain things and advertising them in 4 weeks.
Oh.
You've got people in your life that are doing these things.
My co-worker's on Ozempic.
Oh God.
My co-worker lost 5 kilos on Ozempic last week.
Okay.
Maybe I should do that.
Don't do that. I think that there's people that you know, we obviously live in a land of social media where everybody puts the good parts of their life online. I just think there's certain, we live in a society where we want everything and we kind of want it now. So it is easy these days to get distracted if you allow yourself in that mindset to get distracted by noise or by things happening to other people quicker or people doing things that you feel like you should be doing or, you know, I think it's easy to get sucked into that orbit, but it's important to remember that, that again, it's a toxic mindset to have because where does it end?
Mm.
And often you've done those things. We forget to ourselves we've done those things often in the past and they haven't worked. But we tend to lose all idea of perspective when we get into these certain mindsets where we're thinking there should be something bigger and better happening. And to me it comes down to the grind. People talk about, oh, you know, you're just living in this, you know, you're just grinding away at this, you're grinding away at work. And you know what? Sometimes there's nothing wrong with that if it's working. It's just the time that people don't like. It's the time that it takes to achieve things that people don't like. It's not always necessarily the hard work. It's the time. And I feel like that time portion of it is what a lot of people get distracted over.
Yeah, the funny thing is, and this is, I think it's interesting that we bookend this episode with blamology and lacking focus because they both have this one thing in common. They actually slow your progress.
Mm.
Because in this case, we talk about distractions. It's taking you off the course you're on. Any distraction, like you might have, yeah, hey, so-and-so at work's lost a couple of kilos doing Ozempic for a couple of weeks. Oh, must be working for them. Like, okay, cool. And you then get sucked into that orbit that's taking you away from what you should be focusing on and what you were focusing on and actually stops your progress. This leads to stop-start.
Yeah.
This is part of what we said earlier, bouncing from program to program. Like you're never building the compound interest and the compound improvements that come by just staying the course, sticking with what you're doing, running your own race and letting this thing build up. Because if you go through this yourself, you'll find that staying focused and staying on track is hardest at the start because there's this imbalance between putting in what feels like a lot of effort versus not getting much out on the back end. Yet what happens is when you stay the course and build momentum, the actual results speed up. And things happen faster because you're getting that compound return on things. But that's where the time frame screws with people's minds. Mm. Because, like I said, at the start, there's an imbalance between effort put in and results pulled out. And that's where we get distracted and lack focus and the shiny objects and this and that and blah, like when we get off with the fucking fairies. Yet you'll find that if you stay the course and just hang in there and do your thing, focus on what you are doing and just keep, and use the word grind, Courtney, keep grinding, mm-hmm. The results actually happen faster. You build momentum. But the thing is, I understand a lot of people don't get to experience this, which is a shame because once you experience this for yourself, you look at things differently because it's like, oh, okay, now I know what's required and how this works from a time frame perspective where it might seem a bit out of balance at the start, but once things get running, like we got clients, for example, where they are literally changing every single week. Mm. Every single week, you can visually see improvements in their physique in terms of shape, definition, you know, whatever, getting leaner. But this only happens because they stayed the course the previous 6 months, 9 months, 12 months, where it seems like, man, I'm putting in so much effort for so little return. And yes, it is super frustrating, mega frustrating until you see what happens.
Yeah.
With enough time under your belt. And it's like, whoa, shit. Every week there's improvements. Every week the clothes are fitting differently. Every week I'm seeing better things in the mirror or the photos are improving. It's just like, whoa, okay.
Yeah.
Right. I'm glad I stuck it out when I did. It's just a shame that most people that try and do this sort of thing, they never get to experience this because they're distracted so easily and so quickly that it's just stop, start, stop, start, stop, start. And you're always starting over again. Anything else you want to add? Because I guess waffled on quite a lot.
No, I think that really sums it all up.
Do you have any extra thoughts on this? Like,
no, I think I'll just be over
repeating,
going over what you just said.
What I said.
Yep.
All right. Well, do you want to bring this one to a close?
Yes, our first episode of season 11. That's a wrap.
Season 11.
Yeah. 11. I know. It doesn't even take into consideration all the episodes we did before we moved to a seasonal format. So
we did was somewhere between 110 and 120 episodes before we went to a seasonal format. Wow.
Yeah.
That was a long time.
Crazy. So that wraps up episode 1. Of season 11. Doesn't wrap up season 11. We have lots more to come in season 11.
We're back.
Yes.
Yeah, we're back. So thank you for joining us. Courtney, Facebook group, let's go.
The Weight Loss Podcast on Facebook. You'll find a link in the show notes page of the episode.
Yeah, in your podcast player, just press the Facebook button and it's magic. Like it's magic. It just
It'll
pops
be
up.
There. Make sure works. You join and we will see you for the next episode.
Bye for now.
Bye.
Are you ready to share your success? Head over to our website for full access to our show notes, resources based on today's topic, and links to our Facebook group so you can share your story with our hosts and many others out there who are looking to achieve and maintain their health and fitness goals. You can find all that and more exclusively at theweightlosspodcast.com.